tell me what you're doing in terms of keeping your employees motivated, especially as we talk about these tough times and doing more with less has become kind of a buzzword in the city.
Well, Lisa, Emily, I think the first thing we need to remember is that it comes from the top. And we've been blessed with a couple of really good Chief of Naval Research officers. And what we've been able to do is to focus our ability to focus just on the workforce. And one of the things that we've done is we take learning to another level. And we've involved not just the routine training, but we involved adult learning techniques. And not just classroom training, but speaking engagements, rotational assignments, virtual employees, so that employees don't have to be at O&R to work for us, but they can be anywhere around the country. Those are the kinds of things that we've done, and one of the reasons we've gotten awards for that is because it works. Our employees are motivated, they stay with us, and enjoy what they're doing.
So when you say employees working around the country, are you talking about those sort of work-life benefits like telework?
Well, it's a form of telework. One of the things that happens is we want to employ the best and the brightest. In order to do that, you have to reach out everywhere, not just in Washington, D.C. Some of the people that we want to work for us don't want to come to D.C. They don't want to deal with traffic. They want to deal with the politics. And so what we've done is set a program up that they can work anywhere in the country and still be an O&R employee, and we call it a virtual employee program. So if you want to work in Albuquerque, upstate New York, Seattle, Washington, we've enabled the employees to do that and still get the benefit of the best and the brightest working for O&R.
A lot of people at agencies that I've been talking to see sort of workforce development and training as a way to keep employees and keep them motivated at a time where that's really, you know, when they can't hire and so forth, that's really how they can shape their workforce. And how do you go about figuring out what type of training your employees need and how to push them to that next level so in the end you're actually more productive?
Well, we do something unique. We actually ask them.
Okay.
And that works. We have focus groups that focus on opportunities that the employees need. We ask them what they need, and then we go out and develop specifically tailored for the workforce that those ideas. And so we don't just take something off the shelf. We work it ourselves, put a group together, ask the employees, talk about it, and then develop what fills that need so that at the end of the day, they become better and brighter performers for O&R.
Great. And I'm speaking with Will Brown. He's Talent Manager and Deputy Director of Business Operations and Services at the Office of Naval Research. That's quite a long title, and it begs the question. A lot of times we think of HR as something that's a support service, but with your title, also Deputy Director of Business Operations, it's clear that you have a seat at the table, and you've been able to make HR an integral part of the agency's product. How have you done that, and what can you tell people here at the conference about making sure that they have a seat at the table when those real decisions are made?
Well, I think the first thing we need to do is get the leadership involved in recognizing, and a lot of agencies say that people are our highest asset, most important asset, but O&R, that's really it. What we do in terms of research, technology, and innovation is really dependent on people. It's an idea generation thing, and if we don't have people generating those ideas, nothing works. And so you have to believe that people do those things for you, and if that's what you believe, you got to act on it, and that's what we try to do.
Now, you're going to be talking a bit later about transitions, and of course we're all hearing about a retirement tsunami, have heard for years now, but there are signs that retirements are picking up. How are you ensuring that knowledge gets passed from those people who have been there for a long time and are about to move on to the younger people that are coming in or have been in your agency for just a few years?
A couple of ways. First thing I think you have to do is you have to focus and use collaboration. And if you stop looking at independent individuals doing things but collaborative efforts, then you will realize that is a shared knowledge as a way of working, and so that when one of those people leave, you don't have as much impact. The other thing that we do is we have and participate in what OPM says is a re-employed annuitant program, so that as a person retires, we can bring them back to up to a year and help work and train those new individuals. And the last thing we have is through our new personnel demonstration project is an opportunity to bring in volunteers, an emeritus program, so that we can have people come in, volunteer to come in and share ideas with the workforce and assist in training them.
Now, those volunteers, are they people that you expect are retirees, or are you looking to bring in some knowledge from outside of the agency?
Primarily focused on people who recently retired from O&R. So if we don't have an opportunity to completely train an individual before that person leaves, we can have people come back with specific skills, specific experience, and train the remaining workforce.
And you work a lot with contractors, is that right?
Yes.
So now we're hearing a lot of talk about agencies reevaluating their use of contractors versus in-house people for the same jobs. Is that something that you've been taking a look at there? Are you reevaluating sort of that balance between contractors and employees?
It's the thing that everyone has to look at. And we've done a shift in OSD from time where we had too many civilians. We shifted to contractors for outsourcing, and now we're swinging back because of expense and all those kinds of things. And so we're taking a detailed look at our total workforce, and we have to look at them as an integral part of the workforce and not just a separate member, but an integral part of that workforce. And so we've looked at what every individual, civilians, detailees, contractors, military, what each of those are doing, and attempting to make sure we understand so we can determine which is the best fit.
So you've won a lot of awards for your work. As we wrap this up, give me perhaps three tips that you see that you've used and been successful at, but perhaps aren't being maximized to the same level out there in other agencies, what they could apply from your lessons, from what you've learned.
And real quick, I think we need to trust the workforce, allow them to help you innovate the workforce. You need to make sure that they give you that extra commitment. So you have to engage them, make them feel they're doing quality work. You give them opportunity to do quality work, they'll want to come to your workforce and be engaged in that. And that's what you have to do. You have to give them the opportunity to believe in them and put them first. That's critical.
Now, at Naval Research, when you're talking about engaging your workers, you offer them lots of more than just training opportunities, right? They have the opportunity to delve into different realms of what the agency does within the course of their career, sort of changing but sticking within the agency.
Yeah, what we want to do is stop talking about a job at ONR and talk about a career in Naval Research so that we don't say you have to come to Washington. You can be at any of our field sites all around the country at different levels of management inside the organization so that we can get people to come and we get them to stay by giving them different opportunities.
So they don't have incentive to leave because they want to expand their career. I guess
we want to keep them here.